Welcome to Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Samuel Taylor Coleridge to Barbara Taylor Bradford are Lynn Ferguson.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
And Will Smith.
Hello.
OK, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. Now remember, that bell's a signal for me, not for you. So, without further ado, let's get straight into our first top three. Our first category is your top three islands, excluding Jersey.
I'm actually fine with that, because it's like you're saying, you know, what's the best rock band in the world, not including the Beatles? So that's cool.
In each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out of the chat. In this case, that's Lynn Ferguson. So if you sit this one out, please, Lynn.
I'm sitting out.
Russell Howard, would you like to start us off?
Gorilla Island is it's a subsection of Longleat Zoo. It's brilliant. It is, but it's really. I took my nan there on a day out. It was really great.
Not to, shoved her on the island.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Yeah, exactly. Burn my dinner. Let me go. It wasn't that, but it's really bizarre. It's this really sort of bored guy in the West Country just who takes you on like a little ferry. Go over there. There's Gorilla Island, and flip to your left. There's Jock. Jock got quite bored a while ago, so we put Sky in his... And he's got Sky TV in his little... And, you know, I was, what channel's he got? He's just got CNN. And it's just so surreal. There's a gorilla in Longleat watching fear-mongering news. Just, oh, I can barely beat me chest. The world's in such a state, you know.
Well, we've made this difficult for you. Yeah. We're not allowing you to include Jersey, so I presume we're looking at your second favourite island first, are we?
Yes. Well, Guernsey is the second largest of the Channel Islands, and with its beautiful beaches and magnificent cliffs, all that really stops it being the best island in the world is the absence of a long-running detective series. Of course, Alderney, the third largest of the Channel Islands, doesn't have a regional detective series, but it was featured in The Eagle Has Landed, where Michael Caine and his German paratroopers were exiled following his punching of an SS officer. That's right, kids, not all Germans were bad. And of course, Sark, the third of the Channel Islands, was featured in Mr. Pie, where Derek Jacobi is slightly strange and grows wings.
Hang on a minute, what's Mr. Pie?
It was spelled P-Y-E, it was by Mervyn Peake, isn't it?
I had an image of, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah.
Just doing like a sitcom.
Press my belly again, I'll kill you.
Well, I'm going to give you 3 points for being the most predictable you've ever been on this series. Richard, islands.
I like the Easter and Christmas islands, mainly because of what I imagine goes on.
All year round presents.
Oh, yeah, just imagining. You can have chocolate in one of them all the time. Then if you get sick of that, go, oh, Christmas trees. And I do like Easter Island, though, because that's where the statues are. And by creating those statues, whoever did it, it's a mystery. But they had to cut down trees to move them around, and so they ended up cutting down all the trees on Easter Island and making it uninhabitable. I quite like that. So all that's on there are these big statues, and they all had to leave because there was no food.
Who's been to Ibiza?
I've been. It was quite dull. But I'm saying nothing because then you'll know it's not one of my top three. Take that back.
What?
So none of us have been to Ibiza?
I've been.
Look at us.
I've been to...
None of us.
I don't think I'd fit in.
No.
Really. Come out for a drink, but it's 10 o'clock at night.
You've never been, Russell?
No, I went to Magaluf when I was 21. We were greeted by a man dressed up as a peanut M&M.
Did you not get back on the plane?
Well, no. It was really funny because we were on this bus full of people like, ooh, ooh, yeah, well, at Magaluf, rah! Like that, and I was just sort of sat there going,
thinking,
oh,
where's
my God. And I genuinely, there was a bus of, like, the most ancient-looking pensioners, and I'd never wanted to be on that bus more in my life. Just so you could wander on and go, what are we watching? Morse, get in. I'll tell you what's a really good island. That island, from the James Bond film that Scaramunga's got.
Oh, it's in Thailand, isn't it? Yeah, you can visit it. It's called James Bond Island now.
All right.
I've got a shell with that written on that somebody brought back for me.
Yeah, that's the whole Thai experience there. Yeah. Here, right?
that's what you want. Well, you know, I'd love to go around New Zealand, or as I call it, Middle Earth.
I discovered an island. I have an island named after me called Chard Island, because my name's Richard. And it's in Thailand. It's in an area called Trat. We were on a beach up by the sea, and I noticed about midnight on about 3 days we were there, about 10 metres out to sea, this little bank of sand appeared. This isn't a funny story. This is the most moving thing that's ever happened. I took my chair out and sat on this island and I watched the moon crossing the sky. It was there for about 3 or 4 days and I was the king of Chard Island.
Did you name it?
Well, yeah, we named it Chard Island, me and the people I was with.
Isn't that just a sand dune or something?
Chard's my island and I'm the king of it, and what laws I have apply there.
Hang on a minute. This could be intriguing.
Yeah.
What laws do you have?
Do you rule the prawns or something? Or what subjects do you have?
I'm the king of the... Anyone who I
you
want
said
to
you
invite.
Were king of the ladybirds in the last show. You're clearly having some kind of breakdown. What about the Falklands? They're lovely, aren't they? They're brilliant.
I call them the Malvinas.
Yes, I think we should respect. Why can't we hang on to anything good? Why don't we keep Jamaica? Why do we keep that toilet? I mean, there's nothing. It's freezing, damp, it's miles from anywhere.
Says the man from Jersey.
Yeah. Jersey is tropical, Lynn.
Let's not talk about
you
Jersey.
Drink Five Alive there, that's it.
Well, you know, none of you have got mine, which is Anglesey, because we once went on holiday to Anglesey. We always went to the same place in North Wales, and one year my family, in a fit of madness, decided to go to a different place, which was Anglesey. And we got there, and we went to the house we were going to rent, and there were a lot of flies on the window. My mum said, "We're not staying here." So we left and went back to the place where we always go.
Oh, really?
And there's a lesson there, I think, to be learned. Always do the same thing. Or take a fly swatter. Time is up on this topic. I'm going to have to ask you for your final top threes. Richard Herring, top three islands apart from Jersey, please.
Okay, I would go for Chard Island. Tobago, where I went on holiday this year. They have a Dwight York Stadium. I reckon that's probably the only stadium in the world named after one of the ex-lovers of Jordan. Probably. Kangaroo Island, which is off the Australian coast, because we once weren't there with a clown.
Who's we?
Me and some other comedians.
Richard, what a life you've led.
Yeah, I know.
Will Smith, what have you ended up with?
Guernsey, Alderney, and in a craven attempt to get some points, Skye.
OK. Russell Howard, your top three islands, please.
River. Neverland, and let's go for Scaramunga's Island.
OK, let's see if there are any bonus points if the answers match what's in Lynn Ferguson's envelope. Lynn, let us know, what are your top three islands, excluding Jersey?
It is Fantasy, the plane, boss, Cumbrae. Do you know Cumbrae? I've never been there with a clown, right? But it's got some painted rocks there. It's got a crocodile rock, which is a big rock that's painted like a...
Crocodile.
That's it. It's got an engine rock that's painted like a...
Engine?
No, Native American.
Oh. You got me.
And it's got a big rock that used to be shaped like a lion, and that's called the...
The Rock.
No. And one of the Canary Islands, Gomera.
So no matches there with what you had, Lynn. That means no extra points. But at the end of that round, if we add the points we have already, in joint last place, we have Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring and Russell Howard. Winning is Will Smith. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. Lynn Ferguson, you're up first. So
right.
Either Or. Brains or brawn?
Can you have both?
No.
Actually, I'm 41. I should know you can't have both. Do you know what I mean? It just doesn't work that way, does it? Very attractive. Very, very. You are a prime example of my point. I suppose now I think brains, probably. In my youth, I would have thought brawn. In fact, my brother used to accuse me of only ever going out with men that looked as if they'd been hit over the back of the head with a shovel. But they were really good at lifting things and doing stuff and making logs and stuff. I suppose brains.
Okay.
Resentfully brains.
For sheer honesty, I'll give you 3 points.
Thank you.
Richard Herring, take it or leave it?
It's a difficult choice to make, isn't it? My instinct is to say take it, because, you know, then you get the thing. But I'm going to say leave it, because it's not worth it.
I was going to give you 3, I'll give you 4 because you've got a round of applause, which is pretty good going. We'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top 3. And this time, it's your top three famous couples. Will Smith, you're sitting this one out. What do you think, then? Richard Herring, couples.
We called this myself, Lee and Perrins. I quite like who make the sauce.
Is it a couple, though?
Well, yes, yeah, it's Lee and Perrins. What I like about it is it's a pretty disgusting-tasting sauce. It's taken two people to come up with that. And what I think is probably there was a Lee sauce and a Perrin sauce. They went, these just aren't working. Should we just stick them together and see what we come up with? Richard and Judy are probably, if you want a proper couple.
I shared a swimming pool with them once in Liverpool. Nice. Just by mistake, but they swim in the way that you would expect them to. It was weird. Swimming in the pool. And these two people get in, and there's a really thin guy, right? Thin, tall guy with one of those Speedo swimming hats on.
Really?
And he splashed his way all the way up and all the way down. Splashy, splashy everywhere and no moving very fast. And she get in, right? And she did that breaststroke where your hair doesn't get wet at all.
Do you know, you've got to have points for that. That's amazing image you planted in our heads. So I'll give you a couple of points for that.
True.
How about Anton Deck?
They're a professional couple, yes.
If one of them dies, the other gets £3 million.
Why?
It's like an insurance claim they've got.
That's risky, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think
you should have done that with Stuart.
I should have done. I don't think Deck should get as much if Ant dies as if. Good if one of them was more.
But do you really know which is which, though?
I do. Yeah, because we worked with them when they were PJ and Duncan.
Watch us wreck the mic. Watch us wreck the mic. Yeah. Watch us wreck the mic.
We had them on.
Psych.
We had them on Fist of Fun in the boxes at the end of Fist of Fun before they became slightly more successful as a double act than we were.
Ben, any more couples that you'd like to share with us?
I thought I should do a mention of Adam and Eve, beginning of the human race and all that sort of stuff, if you don't go for the apes and that. And if you do go for the apes and that, of course, there's Siegfried and Roy. They're magic, aren't they? They've been eaten by tigers and everything. They don't even have scars. I had chicken pox when I was 10 and I've got a face like a big crater, but oh no, big lion, he's still smooth. Pierre and Marie Curie discovered radium and polonium, which is very good. On a very romantic front, Shah Jahan and Mumtaz Mahal, because he built the Taj Mahal for her. And that's nice. That is a nice thing. And it's very...
That was lovely. That was great.
Is that what you want, girls? You want a Taj Mahal?
Build
you a
palace.
Much, are you? Is that... Yeah, I'll build you a Taj Mahal.
Yeah, but not like hers. Yeah,
exactly. What about the crankies?
There are a couple. I think it's awful in Scotland. A man's allowed to marry his younger brother. I think that is disgusting. In this day and age. Tony and Cherie.
Yeah.
Lovely couple. Gordon and whoever his wife is.
Burke and Hare, they were lucky that they found each other. But do you know what I mean? It's like you're wondering about going, I've got an idea, I think I'd like to dig up dead bodies, make some money. You know, and then you go, magic, I'll do it with you. Great.
It would be a strange personal ad, wouldn't it?
Did anybody else like me have great faith in the marriage of Liza Minnelli and David Guest?
I would have loved, imagine what the photos of them going on like a ride at Alton Towers would be like. Because right, it's bad enough as it is. Their eyes would be in the lap of the person behind them.
Well, I'm afraid there's no more time to talk this one out. Please give me your final top three, starting with Russell Howard. Your top three famous couples, please.
Alan Shearer and his wife. That's the beautiful thing, you don't know who she is, yet Theo Walcott has played three times for Arsenal and you know his girlfriend. The world is wrong, the world is very wrong. Lee and Herring. I used to love that when I was at school. And my mum and dad. Celebrities in the Thornby area. They buy a lot of peat at the garden centre.
Ben Ferguson?
Siegfried and Roy, just for fantastic plastic surgery. Shah Jahan and Mumtaz Mahal. And Pierre and Marie Curie.
Okay, Richard Herring, your top three, please.
Ross and Norris McWhirter. Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee. Woody Allen and Mia Farrow.
Okay, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs. Will Smith, please tell us, from your envelope, what are the top three famous couples you have?
I forgot it was Will. It's going to be like Aragon in that.
Richard and Judy. Gordon Brown and Tony Blair, because they should just do it and get it over with. And Han Solo and Chewbacca, because theirs is the real love story in Star Wars.
You had me at her.
Well, I'm afraid no matches there, so no extra points. But we find ourselves at the end of round two with, in last place, Richard Herring. Third, Russell Howard. Second, Will Smith. And in first place, Lynn Ferguson. OK, time for another quickfire round. This time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite member of Dad's Army, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them who their favourite member of Dad's Army was, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, Will Smith, your favourite member of Dad's Army, please.
It would be Sergeant Wilson, played by John Lemasurier, whose ancestors came from the best island in the world.
Russell Howard.
Corporal Jones, played by the actor Clive Dunn. Who also had a number one.
Okay, Lynn Ferguson.
Captain Manry.
Quite a ripple there. Finally, Richard Herring.
Don't tell him. Pike.
I think we can see where this is going. Let's have a look at the audience survey then. In third place, with 14% of the vote, was Other. And a lot of people wrote, don't watch it.
Yeah.
Nine people, even more. Three people wrote, don't like programme. Which is very Radio 4.
5-year-olds in the room.
Nasty programme.
In second place, with 24% of the vote, we have Captain Mannering. But first, as we expected, Private Pike with 33% of the votes. So that's 5 points to Richard Herring for matching up with Private Pike. Let's push on with our next top three. Russell Howard, you're sitting this one out, please. So sit back as we hammer out the top three puppets. Can you start us off, please? Lynn Ferguson.
I found this quite hard, this round.
Why? Because
there's a lot to choose from, and then I actually discovered that I don't really like strings. The one sort of thing, apart for this, with the strings, is Dougal from The Magic Roundabout, because they were all strings.
That was stop-motion animation,
stop
I think.
Frame was it? Roundabout.
Yeah.
So really, I really don't like strings.
You really don't?
That makes me feel much better. Does that mean it is actually puppets and not animation, then, if it's stop-frame?
I think they count as puppets.
Yeah, they're puppets.
Yeah, they count. Yeah. As long as it's a three-dimensional living thing, I don't think a cartoon would count. That would be ridiculous. If anyone says a cartoon and it counts, I'm walking off this show.
Zig and Zag. Like them a lot. Zig and Zag were really funny. And do you like Orville? I quite like Orville.
I find the nappy disturbing.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a nappy?
It's a puppet. Oh. Do you know what I mean? It's not, it doesn't have to be anything. Zig and Zag are just socks with eyes on them. Do you know what I mean? That's what puppets are. Unless you've got strings.
Wear nappies.
I don't like
them. In fairness, you never know because their legs are underneath.
No, they come out of the water. They come out of the water. Maybe a swan could be wearing a nappy and you wouldn't know because it's white, but ducks don't wear nappies.
Well, I'm going to give you a point. Stop you talking.
The Count from Sesame Street. I am the Count, I like to count. I like him a lot.
I love the way they followed that through. You know, they just, someone had an idea. Well, hey, we could have the Count, and he counts. There's nothing really much else to that. No, there isn't. Should we do it for the next 20 years? Yeah.
Will, I'm imagining where you grew up.
Yes.
You had, was it Southern TV? Did they have
Channel
a birthday
TV?
Club?
We've got our own television
TV.
Station. Oh, yeah. Was it, yeah, yeah, we make our own shows, like the weather and the local news.
Was there a puppet on it?
Oscar Puffin used to read the birthday card. Well, not read them. And they say, can I have 3 winks? I'm 3 years old, I'll have 3 winks. And it would do 3 winks. Or he'd waggle his tail. He couldn't
that
talk.
That is Jay copied that. That's Gus Honeybun from TSW. That's anyone in from the southwest. Fern Britton used to do Gus Honeybun. You went up to 11, that was the cut-off point.
Yeah.
I remember my friend Brian Bancroft got it read out his birthday when he was 11.
Brilliant.
The next day at school, his life was a living hell.
Yeah.
We had Paladin talking lamp on the cartoon Cavalcade. It was great! The lamp would just go like that, he'd go, what do you think, Paladin? Paladin would go, oh, no.
Quite like the disturbing ones. You know, like ventriloquist dummies generally are quite creepy, and Punch and Judy is just really just squawking things, facial deformity, spousal abuse. It's like 19th century Siberia in a booth. It just freaks me out, but I'm quite attracted to it at the same time.
And you object to a duck in a nappy?
Bagpuss?
No? Yeah, he's a puppet as well.
I hate Bagpuss.
Why? It's great. Did you hear that? What don't you like like about bagpuss? It's a large orange gas. Makes you feel sick.
Sick to the stomach.
Why?
Just so twee. Chuck the stuff in the bin, it's broken. No one's going to walk
but
past
the
shop.
It's got the marvellous mechanical mouse organ.
It's my oven gun. I thought that had gone forever. Oh no, it's been made by some puppets. Nookie Bear?
Yeah, because he looks like Ross Kemp.
He does a little.
Tony Blair. That's right, kids. Yeah. That's me sticking it to the man. Finger bobs. Who remembers finger bobs?
Finger bobs. Finger
bobs. It's a man, he just, there was the mouse, there was a seagull. What was the seagull called? I can't remember. And there was a song which started with Yuffie Lifts a Finger, Yuffie. Which is brilliant when you're seven, because it sounds rude, but isn't. It just sounds slightly wrong.
Yuffie lifts a finger.
And you think, woo.
And a mouse is there.
5 points.
Okay, that is your lot. Please give me your final top three, starting with Lynn Ferguson, please.
The Count, the Clangers, and Paladin, the Token Lamp.
Okay, Will Smith.
Yoda, the Clangers, and Finger Bobs for Yuffie.
Very good. Richard Herring, your top three, please.
Sweep, the True Star of Film. Pliny from This Morning with Richard Not Judy, voiced by the opera director Stuart Lee. And Team America.
Okay, another ripple of applause there. I might have to give you a populist point for that. Let's see if anybody gets any additional points here. Russell, please tell us what are your top three puppets.
Roland Rats. Mr. Hat. And Chucky.
Who's Mr. Hat?
From South Park.
Oh, right.
Cartoon.
No, it's a cartoon of a puppet. That's slightly different. It is slightly different.
I'm this close to walking, I'm this close.
Okay, no matches there, I'm afraid, so no extra bonus points. That means at the end of this round, the scoreboard looks like this. In last place, Russell Howard. Joint second, Lynn Ferguson and Will Smith. But in the lead, Richard Herring.
This could be my day.
Okay, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from mini-golf to giant chess. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Will Smith. Who would win a cattle drive, Kurt Russell or Douglas Hurd?
Well, Kurt Russell may play tough guys on screen, but Douglas Hurd is the real deal. You know, he can slug it out with the best of them. He once punched out a cow to make a point in the cabinet meeting, so I'm going with the Hurd.
OK, I'll give you 3 points for that, I think. And finally, Russell Howard, who would win at Paper, Scissors, Stone, Jimmy Page, Alan Shearer or The Rock?
I'll describe it blow by blow. Page opens with scissors to Shearer's paper. Shearer runs away screaming, "I'll have my revenge!" Rock turns to Page and says, "Let's do this." Page goes scissors again, but Rock goes, as ever, for Rock. He wins and roars, "Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?" To which Page says, "Is it lasagna?"
5 points. Right, we'll add those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three things a Cockney says. Russell Howard, would you like to start us off?
Hello there, Mary Poppin.
What voice was that?
Dick Van Dyke. How about this? She walked into a door, didn't you, love?
You should write for EastEnders, you really should.
I've got another one. Cut him, you ponds.
2 points.
Thank you.
Will Smith.
I know, the things I've heard Cockneys say most in my own experience are things like, "Oi, yeah, Lord Snooty, yeah, you, come over here, yeah, get in the warehouse, that's it, stop crying, wear the dress, now dance, like you mean it. Don't let me see you around here again."
I'll give you an instant 3 points for that, I think. Lynn Ferguson, you live in London, but you don't come from London.
It's true, and actually, most of the people that speak Cockney rhyming slang don't come from London either. They come from, like, Norfolk, and they're all gentrified, aren't they? And they come here because they want to pretend to be all working class. I found a brilliant thing, right? Which is, have you ever found this on the web? There's a guy who writes a thing called themanwhofellasleep.com. And every week, right, he puts in everything that he's heard on the tube on a particular day, right? He's got, my dad's all right, he's still got no feeling on his left side, but he retires next year. Letitia isn't fat, she's chunky. She's quite curvy. She used to be fat. I suppose she's fat. But it's a brilliant thing because it's just, you know, all the rubbish that you hear in the tube and you go, that's just rubbish. Yeah, he's got really arrogant since he got his motorhead jacket. He doesn't want to know me anymore.
Wow.
That is fantastic.
What was he wearing?
You have a point for that, even though on the London Underground, hardly any Cockneys are on there.
Apparently this is one. Look at her Kiplings.
What's that mean? Kipling pies eyes.
Yep.
Oh, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I've got another one. What's the other one? I was walking down the road. Some fridge gives me grief.
Fridge, freezer, geezer.
There you go.
You're good.
Wow. I know. We need to pull out of Bergerac, Iraq.
Any more examples you'd like to throw into the mix before I draw this to a close?
I like when people call other people Muppets. Quite like you, Muppet.
Yeah.
I like
it. I like it when Frank Butcher in EastEnders, and he did make this, Mike Reed made this line up, it was not written for him by EastEnders scriptwriters, when he said, what do you take me for, some kind of pilchard? He wrote that himself.
I've got Mike Reed sings. He does What a Wonderful World, and he kind of half sings it, and then when he gets to the, and I sing to myself, what a wonderful world.
Well, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top threes, please? Starting with Russell Howard, your top three things a Cockney says.
Look at her Kiplings. Ricky! And, dip your bread.
OK, Lynn Ferguson, what have you ended up with?
I don't know. Apples and pears, probably. Leave it, like that. And you Muppet. I like the Muppet one.
That's good. OK, thank you. Will Smith, your top three, please.
Linda Lusardi, Cardi. Manhole cover, brother, and Forrest Gump, dump.
Okay, well, everything is up in the air at the moment, so this could change everything. Richard Herring, please open your envelope. Let us know what are your top three things a Cockney says.
Well, number one, you Muppet. Two, Gertcha.
Oh, I like Gertcha.
Three, I'm not racist, but...
One match there, then, for Muppet. That means 1 point to you, Lynn, and 1 point to you, Richard Herring. And that means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Lynn Ferguson, Russell Howard and Will Smith, and our winner is Richard Herring.
Yes! Yes! End of series. I carry the crown.
So that's all from us for today's show, and indeed for this series. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, there's only one thing in the world worse than being talked about, and that is being talked about by social services. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring, Russell Howard and me, Will Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Richard Grocott. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.